And that's what took me to Chateau Cheyenne, I say.
Baron Riku was the man who hanged your wife and daughter, Ivor Vass asks.
I stare at him, hard. Shit. So there were some discrepancies in the story I told him, and usually I'm such a good liar.
Sorry.
The skinny redhead gulps. I've never given an interview like this to anyone in the society. He can't squander this opportunity. If things don't exactly match up, he'll just have to puzzle them out later. He's afraid of me, but he's ambitious too, and too focused on the wrong things.
Can I see it?
I stare at him. He raises his hands in surrender.
I don't mean touch it or hold it or anything. I just, you know, want to see it.
I put a platinum bowl on the table, polished, lustrous, covered with spidery runes. I roll it around with a fingertip. Tiny blue streams of fire fill every rune. Then I snatch it back, make it disappear into me. His eyes are wide.
Lord Eric Dehedral, the bearer of the Globe of Edges himself. Sir, it's such an honour to meet you. How'd you bond it?
He asks, like it's a throwaway question. Your own blood, need, and the Kakari's element. Like it's a throwaway answer.
Its element? How's that work with the Silver Kakari?
Easy. Got stabbed. Had blood, need, and metal in me all at once. He nods, filing it away. Then his voice hardens.
I'm gonna need you to hand over that Kakari, Lord Dehedral.
Why? I ask. You've already got the red. He blinks. And no man can bond to Kakari at the same time, I say. Ivor Vass talks, buying time, maybe, trying to process.
It's for my sister. She's dying. We have had the same disease. I bonded the red on accident, and I got well, so I know it'll save her. You have no idea what I've had to do to get this far. What it's cost me. What I've done. Now hand it over. You might be impervious to blades, sir, but you'll burn like any man.
So it's not for Guinevere, I say. A quick grimace.
What do I care about some whore?
It tells me two things. First, he knows Guinevere. Second, she really didn't send him after the Kakari. To learn that fact is the whole reason I told him my story. Most of it true. I figured Guinevere had to be in the Society of the Second Sun, or she never would have found me in the first place. But I didn't know, and I needed to know, if she'd try to kill me for the Kakari. Immortality is a tempting prize. That's really noble, I say. Murdering someone to save your sister, I mean.
I just listened to your story. You're the last man in the world who ought to preach to me.
He does have a point there.
Ivor stands and squeezes the red Kakari in his hand. It covers his body with a slick red sheen. It burns away his clothing. He'll have to work on that.
Fight me, he says. I don't know how to get the Kakari if you die while it's still inside your body.
I stand, wobble. Kids these days. You poisoned the ale, I say.
You poisoned the ale? Ironic, huh?
I fucking hate irony. He throws a fireball at me. I bring up the black Kakari in a shield. With a whoosh, it devours the fireball.
That's not the Globe of Edges,
he says. And I'm not Eric Dehedral. With a little sleight of hand, as if they're coming out of my skin, I produce five little metallic balls, blue, green, silver, white, gold. They roll uncertainly around the tabletop.
You have all of the Kakari?
He asks, terrified, but greedy too, not yet understanding. Counterfeits, I say, for just such occasions as this. I roll out my fake of the red Kakari last. Fear in his eyes, despite the suit of fire on his skin. Confusion. The society only knows about six Kakari, and what he's just seen doesn't fit any of them. You didn't lure me here to take my Kakari, I tell him sadly. I lured you here to take yours. A conflagration. I'm hurled through the back wall of my safe house into the marsh surrounding it. I knew fire might be a problem. That's why I chose this place. No need to burn down the whole Warrens. Not that they're much worth saving. I land calf deep in marsh mud. The black Kakari coats my body as Ivor comes out of the burning doorway. Fireballs burn smoking, hissing trenches in the marsh. I dodge, flip, disappear. He throws a fan of flames in a full circle. A splash as I land behind him. He whips around, throws jets of flame. They curl around my torso, burning the night on either side of me. What hits me is mostly absorbed. The Kakari burns blue iridescence at every joint and curve of my body as it devours the fire. I ram two daggers deep into his chest. The torrent of fire trails off, trickles down to nothing. His Kakari drops into the mud, leaving him naked, mostly held up by my daggers. He looks me in the eyes and says,
"I should have..."
He dies. I let him slide off the daggers, drop into the muck. I pick up the red Kakari from where it's hissing, hot, in the marsh mud. There are no words. There is no light. Nigh unto 700 years ago, there was a great fire in Traetel. A light so bright it burned men to pillars of ash, many leagues away. That fire was Jorsin Alcestis, madman, saviour, king. The war was lost long before that last battle was fought. But fight he did, teeth bared, laughing, incandescent. A light so bright that the great men and women of an age flocked to him like moths to a flame and burned. On the last day, Jorsin Alcestis, murderer and friend, took Kerok and Yores in hand at the same time. A lesser man would fear to touch one, but he, magnificent he bent the blade of power and the staff of law to his will. As Krull, the twisted unmen, swarmed over the last barricades and spilled through the streets, slaughtering women armed with little more than sticks and children throwing rocks, one man fled, who had never fled in his life. A Kaelas thorn, unwanted treasure in his hands, left the fight under orders. He crept like a coward. Outran the Krull who chased him, stood among the corpses and filth and cowards at the mouth of the pass into the Fasmeru Mountains, and looked back. The Krull were a black blanket, held tight over the face of the burning city. A light bloomed from the castle's highest balcony. From 100 points, lightning cracked down. Every flying Narokhul dropped from the sky, becoming a smoking, bleeding rain. The bleak clouds rolled back in an instant, as if shoved aside by giant's hands, and the light swelled ever brighter. A Kaelas staggered up to a group of deserters, leaning against a granite wall at the mouth of the pass, catching their breath, weaponless, bloodied, their eyes dim, the eyes of the shamed and broken. But now those eyes reflected one sharp light. Those who had slumped now stood. Titans rushed for the castle, smashing through 3-story stone houses. Stone shrapnel turned into dust motes dancing in the light of a rising sun. The earth heaved upward just once, sweeping men and Krull and Titans and 100 other kinds of monsters off their feet. Even a Kaelas fell. Dogs whined. It was as if the earth herself were flinging her power into this enterprise, into Jorsin Alcestis. And then, just as they all stood again, obliteration. Light that blinded, light that burned, light that boiled the bloody river, light that purified, light that roared. A rushing wind filled the blindness that followed. A Kaelas knew only that it felt as if his very body were a fire, veins burning inside his skin. Time shattered, scattered, thrown about and blown about. He came to himself, and the first thing he saw was his own blackened skin, smooth, burnt, perfect black, like he'd been dipped in tar. Achilles stood, feeling curiously whole, unconscionably strong. There were pillars of ash around him, howling winds, already blowing away the remnants of what had been men. Against the granite wall, etched by light, shadows stood, ghosts of the men who'd been vaporized. One shadow was different. One shadow stood, defiant, one fist raised, edges perfect, outline crisp. Achilles's shadow. The others were dim, washed out, bleached by a flood of light that had continued even after the men who had cast them were burned away. But through all the fire, one man had stood. The black skin retreated into his body, unbidden, leaving him naked. His clothes and even his armor had been burned away. Achilles looked at leagues of wasteland. Nothing stirred but what was stirred by the wind. Death had taken the throne from Jorsin, a gleaming black dome huddled where once Traetel had stood.
Achilles, mourn later. There is work to be done.
The voice came from inside his own head. The black Kakari. It had saved him. It had been a secret gift from Jorsin Alcestes, who had told bull-headed Achilles Thorn to flee, to live. But Jorsin hadn't said he meant Achilles to live forever.
"I'll come back and take it off your hands," Jorsin had promised with his roguish grin when he'd given Achilles the treasure. The liar. He was wan, washed out, but his eyes burned with a fevered intensity.
He'd been spending every day fighting and every night with Archmage Ezra making something. Never sleeping, working on some last-minute salvation that Achilles only slowly came to understand wasn't coming. Jorsin Alcestes, Emperor, Genius, Archmage, Tyrant. Jorsin Alcestes was a light so bright he left shadows standing centuries hence. The semblances of men burned onto granite walls, and one shadow was perfect above all others. A walking, breathing shadow. A shadow as flickering as the ghosts thrown by a candle. As mutable as a king's promises. A shadow who devoured light and life. Light is, but a shadow undefined becomes simply darkness. And light had been too long denied the man who had been Achilles Thorn. He was thin, fraying, a bowl full of smoke. He was becoming undifferentiated darkness. What if the light itself had been a lie?